Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this weekly episode of the original Flats and Shanks podcast, Series 3.
Yeah, OGs. OGs are back.
We're back. We're back, and I think you can tell by our voices we're happy.
Yeah.
Well, I am anyway.
Upbeat, aren't we?
And I've just arrived back, you know, talking like a couple of hours ago via BA. Thank you, BA, for getting us back safely or getting me back safely.
Yeah.
We're in Flatiron Square. So
you're back from where, Tommy? Tell them, just in case.
Japan.
Yeah, so I came back a couple of days earlier than Tommy for work stuff.
I like TV commitments,
yes.
I say.
Yeah, it was that.
I've got a taxi straight to Flatiron Square, so that's what you can hear the hustle and bustle behind is a couple of ladies enjoying a very loud drink.
A little bottle of champers, why not?
Finding both of themselves very funny.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Relax.
Are you tired, mate?
Tuesday. A little bit, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, you can be honest with me.
I'm a little bit, yeah. I mean, I didn't sleep that well.
Yeah.
I did have an emergency exit seat, so my legs could go flat, but when you're a big bloke, and I'm no way as big as you, it's not comfy sitting on a seat.
Nope.
You've got nowhere to put anything.
Nope.
It's even hard work just trying to put a seatbelt on.
Yep. It's rubbish.
So I watched a couple of good movies. First time I've seen A Star Is Born.
Brilliant film.
Yeah. I had a little tear in my eye, especially when Bradley Cooper says to his brother that it was him that he idolized and not his dad.
Yeah. He's the guy from Roadhouse, his brother, isn't he?
Yes.
With Swayze.
Yes, it is. He's been loads of other things.
Yeah, yeah. He's been about.
Great voice he's got.
How good is Bradley Cooper in that film?
Amazing. I've only really seen him, I think, in comedies, which he's amazing in.
God, but he was good.
Even Lady Gaga.
Yeah, brilliant.
What beautiful girl she is. You don't often see her without makeup on. I know she's got makeup on in the film, but naturally looking.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
And there's a couple
and
of
so
nude
talented.
Scenes. Yeah, that's what I meant, talented.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Were there new scenes? I can't remember those. They show those on planes today.
Yeah.
So I always think if it's a really major film, like Green Book was on the flight on the way back, and I was like, I'm not going to watch that because apparently it's so good, I want to watch it at the cinema.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I watched a lot of things. I watched Player One Ready. I think that's what it's called. It's a Steven Spielberg film as well.
Yeah.
And that's really good.
What's
that
about?
That's about...
Gamers.
Gamers.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
That was a joke. All right.
In the future. So set in the future, but gamers, and it's all about sort of virtual reality and how that's sort of taken over.
Yeah.
And the guy who created this world, this oasis, has died. And he's left a few clues to find, and whoever finds those clues sort of controls the oasis.
Oh, right. Okay.
A bit like Minecraft, the oasis is, you know, it's a different...
Got you.
It's a different world.
And yeah.
And everyone, and you can buy for things. You collect coins, and
okay,
it's how the future is probably going to be.
Probably going to be, yeah. Okay, fine. So your flight was all right.
I'm glad to be back.
Yes.
How have you been without me for the last few days.
Invigorated. I've been okay, fella. Not much jet lag on the reverse. Horrendous jet lag over there, like we both had. Yeah. Horrendous. Back home, woke up at 4 a.m. the first night, and then 7 a.m. today, or 6:30 a.m. But woken up by the girls. So, kids, that is.
I don't want to talk too much about what we did when you left, because we'll save that for the ITV podcast.
But was it any? Was it worse when
I
left?
If you haven't listened to that yet, get onto that.
Was it worse when I left?
Let's just say some stuff went down.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
It was a big group fight.
Oh, quality.
No, there wasn't.
Oh. So, that's a shame.
Yeah, but we'll talk more about Japan and how it improved.
After I left.
On the Sunday.
Oh, brilliant. So one thing we need to talk about is escape at Dannemora.
Did you like?
Not finished yet.
Are you enjoying?
Like a lot.
Good.
Love Benicio del Toro. Love him.
So good. I love how he shaves his sideburns in it as well.
Looks wicked.
Really high.
It looks wicked. Like, it looks awful, but it looks perfect
like
for prison.
Like Smithers from The Simpsons.
Yeah, it looks perfect for prison, but really, really good. And, yeah, I'm not done yet. Patricia Arquette's brilliant in it.
So good.
And also, I want to be appropriate, but there are some unusual sex scenes in it, aren't there?
Yeah.
They're not the usual ones you'd find in a film.
No.
But you like them. I know you do. Well, I don't mind them.
When you say don't mind them, you like them enough to come over with your iPad on the bus and show me that you were watching it and give
That's
me a big
right.
thumbs up.
That's right. Because basically Shanks was like, you've got to start watching that Escape Dannemora, and we're in Japan. And he goes, oh, it's a brilliant sex scene at the start. Shanks was watching something else with his headphones on, and I tapped him on the shoulder and he saw the scene I was on and I was like, it's brilliant.
You've got to watch Das Boot, okay?
That's Das good. Boot. I've got it downloaded,
well done.
Mate.
Well done.
Yeah.
How's the rugby been then over the weekend?
Good question, that.
Benetton won again.
What?
They beat Edinburgh.
I know.
Which is very good for Benetton. Now, at the moment, there is...
A random live band playing in the background.
There's a random Gareth Thomas video being shown. It's his video.
Oh, is there? It's his Guinness video.
It's his Guinness video about breaking down the barriers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing video. He's an amazing bloke, and we're interviewing him tonight at Flatiron Square, so yeah. Can't wait for that. He's always fun to be around.
So, if you're hearing a bit of background noise, it's because we are here through choice, but we had to do the podcast here because Shanks has just landed from Japan like hours ago, hasn't gone home yet, and all that sort of stuff. And I was in London, and it just has to be done, and we won't get it out.
But you like these rough and ready ones, don't you?
Yeah, we're just too busy this
week. And we're up for it. We're not in Japan.
Blimmin' right we are. Blimmin' right we're up for it.
Yeah, so Benetton won. Now, massive, massive hoo-ha going on in Welsh rugby at the moment. There's all this talk now about the Ospreys joining the Scarlets. So basically, Flats, we can't afford four regions at the moment.
Yep.
There was talk of Dragons going up to North Wales.
Yeah.
Possibly.
That's a big leap, isn't it?
That's a big leap. But players will go. If it means you're going to work and you're going to get decent money to work, they will go.
Of course they will.
It's like
anything. Will any fans go up there?
Like anything in life. Yeah. There is a want for rugby in North Wales.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. So the fans will go there. It'd be tough for the fans that support the clubs, the Ospreys and the Scarlets.
Really tough.
Down West Wales, really tough. But there will be support up in North Wales. That is guaranteed. But, you know, we went to five regions actually in 2003. So that's when regional rugby was set up.
Yeah.
And now we're having a shift again because...
It hasn't really worked.
We couldn't afford him in Welsh rugby. We couldn't afford the teams as it was in the Premiership. So your Cardiff, your Neath's, you know.
Yeah.
Your Pontypridd, all these teams, Ebervell. So now we're going into what looks like it's going to be three regions. So Newport, Cardiff... And whatever that Scarlets Ospreys are going to be.
Scarsprays. Oslets.
Which is going to be a nightmare for fans. Nightmare for fans and players, because there'll be players that are being contracted now which won't get a contract.
Why is it those two regions they've chosen to merge? Do you know?
Well, this isn't from the WRU. This is from the regions themselves. So they've come together and proposed it between them.
Right.
So they've gone to WRU and said, look,
okay,
we're not sustainable as we are. We've had chats. We potentially want to merge. This is where it's come about. Now, the WRU will get a lot of flack for this, undoubtedly, because
of course they will.
That is the top of the tree, really. But what people have to remember is the regions propose this.
Yeah, interesting on that. Here, a couple of questions for you. Firstly, the timing of this announcement. It comes in the middle of the Six Nations when there's Wales are going for a Grand Slam. Surely this cannot help the Scarlets and Ospreys players within that squad. It can't help them, surely. Like, could they not have waited a couple of weeks?
It can't help them, but they are at the top of their game, aren't they? They're playing for their country, so they're not going to struggle for work. They're not going to struggle to find a club or a region to pick them up because...
Yeah, they'll be all right. They're the lads that will be all right, basically.
They're the best of the best.
Yeah.
Love that film.
In Wales.
It's their friends.
Fight Tehan.
That's
Julie Roberts' brother,
yeah,
isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
It's their Robert. Teammates, which are the ones that are going to... Which, you know, is going to affect them. Their mates, who they see every day.
Yeah.
In their clubs, and they are going to worry about them.
Another question for you.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a gamble, right? So players don't know how it will work out. No one knows how it will work out. So what about, you know, let's just say you've got Scott Williams.
Yes.
And you've got Fonatier at Ospreys or something, and it's like, right, Scott Williams gets offered a ton of money to go and play for Leicester Tigers. Or to go and play for Racing 92.
Yes.
Actually, is there a chance that this move could lead to another sort of spell of player drain because the lads want certainty? This could be awful.
I think at the moment, I think if this does go ahead, I think Gatland's Law, which means 60 caps and over, you can be selected for Wales and play outside of Wales. I think they might have to look at that. Because we are reshaping and restructuring Welsh rugby. So
reduce that number of caps.
I don't know. I think maybe throw out the window once this region... Well, I don't know, actually. I wouldn't say throw out the window because I want players playing in Wales. But I think that there has to be a crossover period because players who are currently contracted at a region might not get work in Wales once... You know, with two regions going into one. So I think there has to be a little bit of understanding there from this law. So
yeah.
I'm not saying abolish it. I don't mean that. I mean, you might just have to sort of...
Relax it
for 6 months or a year until people find
where they're gonna
jobs,
be.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But look, this is all coming out really quick, so it's quite hard to have a real valid opinion on at the moment.
Yeah.
I think we'll see more information be drip-fed through, hopefully... after March the 16th because you don't want it to affect players. But then those who aren't playing international rugby will want to know as soon as possible, won't they?
Yes, you're right, they will.
You know, where they got dropped. So, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll have far more information on it and form a far better opinion. But that's what's going on.
And there's a lot of hoo-ha about World Rugby's proposed sort of global league thingamajig, Bobby, but... and ruling out the Pacific Islands and that sort of stuff. But actually, I feel like a lot of people might have jumped the gun on that and assumed and decided that World Rugby were going to absolutely rifle and, you know, destroy the Pacific Islands stuff. And it's like, hang on a minute, that's actually, I think Brett Gosper's come out and said, it's actually not part of our plan at all. Like,
yeah.
we haven't finalised it at all yet. And we're certainly not looking to do that. Why would we do that? So I think some people have got, understandably, offended, but I think they've got a bit offended before the information's actually come out.
Also, rugby is professional now, okay? We know that. It's been professional for a long time. If you want to join a proposed league like this, you have to bring something to the party. There has to be a commercial benefit that you're bringing, whether it's TV rights, whether it's sponsorship deals, something. And I suppose when you look at the teams coming in, and that's why Italy are still in the Six Nations, because of the TV revenue they generate from showing the games.
Yeah.
The commercial reasons. So, you know, will Georgia provide that same amount of money? It's a professional game.
Yeah.
You know, it is. That's just the way it is now. So, are Georgia going to provide the same amount of money commercially that Italy bring to the Six Nations?
And if they do, they're a viable option. If they don't, they're not.
Yeah, and one would think at the moment they probably wouldn't. Mm. Now, that is... speculation again, but I can't see it personally. Anyway, Politics, anyway.
Oh, mad, isn't it? I watched Alan Partridge last night.
Oh, I've not seen it.
Yeah.
El Desperado to see it.
It's uncomfortable.
I watched on the plane the first two episodes of I'm Alan Partridge series one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It's just phenomenal. It's yeah. When he goes out on a date with Lynn.
He was on a date with her?
No, not Lynn. Lynn's PA. He goes on a date with one of his staff from Pear Tree Productions.
Oh, yeah. And it's...
He gets all the chocolate mousse.
Yeah.
Like the balance. It's a skirting ball around the bed. Got your 12-inch plate, Alan. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. This new show is uncomfortable.
Oh, good. I like that.
Uncomfortable. There's this brilliant... I won't ruin it for you. There's a brilliant bit where he's standing in for a... He's hosting a TV show. It's like Richard and Judy type thing.
Yeah.
And he's standing, he's interviewing someone on a satellite link. And every question, he's like trying to be, every question he gets wrong. So she's basically like, and he'll say things like, you know, so this is a whatever it is kind of issue, isn't it? She'll say, no, it's not. He goes, well, this is catastrophic for the, you know, Welsh government, isn't it? No, it's not. It's the opposite. It's really good for them. I mean, they won't want to do it, will they, because of the revenue? No, the revenue will actually go up. And he's just getting everything wrong.
Oh, I can't wait.
then he tries to score a win at the end. I won't ruin it for you, but it's brilliant.
I can't wait.
It's very, very clever.
He is amazing. But he's like Ricky Gervais, isn't it? He'll always be known. Ricky Gervais will always be known as Brent.
Yeah.
Steve Coogan will always be known as Partridge. You can't escape it.
Yeah. But I mean, the way he delivers and stays in that character, but it's stuff like, you'll watch it and you'll see it, the facial expressions, yep, the physical movements are genius.
Well, I listened to his book, I, Partridge.
Now, oh, it's brilliant.
You can read it, you can buy it in a shop, yep, but trust me, it's far better narrated by the man himself.
It's so good.
It's like Total Recall, Arnold Schwarzenegger's autobiography. He narrates the first bit himself.
Oh, does he?
And it's, I love it.
Yeah.
It's just his voice is so recognisable.
But a lot of Alan Partridge's brilliance is the emphasis he puts on certain words.
Yes.
And is, you know, with 8 million litres of water. Yeah. You know.
I have been reading since the age of 1.5, be it picture books.
He's genius.
Yeah.
But better than that, yeah.
Anything stand out for you? Rugby?
Rugby, look.
I am looking.
Where was I at the weekend? I was in Newcastle and I watched Newcastle comfortably beat Worcester.
Are they staying up?
Oh, Tommy.
How could they do so well last year and then this year?
Tommy, fine margins, mate. Fine margins, yeah. Do you know who's going down? Don't know, because Bristol beat Gloucester.
Yeah.
Gloucester were really poor in the first half, but geez, Bristol play some rugby, boy. Wow, they play. Piatow, special. Luke Morahan, special player. Too many holes left, frankly, for the Bristol attack. But geez, those guys play. And they... John Arfoa did an interview after the game and he, you know, as a pundit, he got it bang right. He said, you know, we just made fewer mistakes in attack in the midfield because the last couple of weeks we've made mistakes and left ourselves open. And he's dead right because they are bang open. They have the last couple of weeks. They've just been, as soon as they drop a ball in midfield and someone else, opposition player picks it up, they are toast because there's no one there. So, way, way better. Leicester, I think, got lucky at Welford Road because Bio Ali scored, I think.
Wasps are in a bit of a pickle at the moment. Can't seem to get themselves out of it, really.
Yeah, but they you know, I think they didn't win that game, but I think they effectively won that game, you know. And
mate, that was a massive noise you're just making then.
Oh, sorry. Moving. Oh, sorry, everyone. But they basically did enough, but, you know, it's... Actually, you talk amongst yourself, Shanks, because I've got a message from JP Doyle, who actually refereed that game, because I said something on the highlights show.
Have you been ripping into him?
No, I haven't, not at all.
Scarlets beat Munster. Massive win there for Wayne Pivak.
Oh, here's an interesting one. Hang on, by the way, on that, because people are interested in this.
Lee Halfpenny is back.
Read the question, because basically JP Doyle asked the question, try yes or no. And if it said any reason I can't award the try, you feel like it would have been given. But he's just said, read the try question. I can only ask any reason why I can't award if I've seen a grounding. And I duck and dove everywhere and couldn't see it apart from when it was basically landed short. So I have to ask, try yes or no. And it does feel unfair not to be allowed to give the attacking scrum. So that's quite interesting. So JP Doyle effectively had no choice but to ask that question. Interesting that.
Why would you call your son JP?
Well, I wonder if he's called like Jean-Paul.
Yeah, no, well, I... Yeah.
But I wonder if...
But why is he adopted, JP?
Oh, God, I don't know. Let's find out.
DL Flatman.
Doesn't work, does it? TGL, no. TGL Shanklin.
TGLS.
TGLS?
You've got Llewellyn.
Oh, I got that. TG...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're tired, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm not there.
You've got to get through this hour with Alfie now on a stage in front of thousands of people.
Q&A, yeah.
Q&A, 20,000 people.
I know we're not really meant to speak about Six Nations, but Gareth Anscombe's picked at 10 again.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Bold move. We'll talk about that.
I thought Bigger was a shoo-in, but you said he shouldn't be, and I think you're right.
Don't give too much away.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it's a brief one because we've got two pods a week coming out. Make sure you listen and download our ITV, Six Nations, STV, Flats and Shanks podcast, because that is the podcast during this campaign where we discuss everything Ruggers.
In association with Michelle Blair, who was meant to arrive here 10 minutes ago with street food for us and hasn't. So, up yours.
Uppercut for Michelle.
Yeah. Hey, cheers everyone. Ta-ra.
Bye.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.